Samad Aleph, we're up to the third line. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezehu Mion, Amra Iefshi Bifloni Baili Iefshi Bekidushin Shekidushuni Imi Va'achai. So again, the Gemara just kind of defines what Mion is, right? If the girl basically says, I don't want to stay married to my husband, I'm not interested in the guy that my mother or brother married me off to, that's the, you know, classic definition of Mion. Then the Gemara says, Yeser Alkein Amra Rabbi Huda, Afilu Yosheves Ba'apirion Vahulechas Mi Beis Avi Aleves Baila Va'amra Iefshi Bifloni Baili, Zehu Mion. Even if the girl is sitting in the bridal chair, she's on her way to her wedding, and then she turns around and says, I'm not interested in marrying this guy, that's also called Mion. Yeser Alkein Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Hayu Orchin Mesubin Beveiz Baila Vehi Omeda Sumashka Aleim V'Amar Lohem Yevshi Bifloni Baili Harehu Mion. Again, the girl is serving everyone who came to the house for the wedding. She's you know, she's acting as the hostess, and then 2 minutes in, she says, I'm not interested, I don't want to marry this guy. So again, that's also called Mion. Yeser Alkein Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, Afilu Shigara Baila Eitzel Chenvani Lohavi Lohchefetz Mishalo V'Amar Yevshi Bifloni Baili Ein Lachamion Gadol Mizem. The husband sends his wife to the store to go pick something up for him, and she says, I'm not interested, I don't want to stay married to this guy. So the Gemara says, that is the greatest example of Mion, she can walk out of the marriage. Then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos Omer kol tinokes. We said in the Mishnah yesterday that according to Rabbi Chanina, any girl who is not of the age to be lishmor kidusha, which again we'll define in a second, that she can't guard her kidushin or ksuba, she's not of the age to understand all of this, so then the marriage was never effective in the first place, she doesn't even need Mion, that the whole marriage was never really binding. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel halal. That's how we paskin, that if the girl is not of the age where she really understands what's going on in terms of the marriage, so then the marriage was never really binding at all. Tana Kitana Shalomiana V'amda V'nises Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira Amru Nisueha Heinin Miuneha. What if you have a scenario where the girl is married and then she turns around and decides, again, she's, let's say, 10 years old, married off by her mother or brother, she turns around and goes ahead and marries another person without doing Mion first? So says Rabbi Yehuda, that is the greatest example of Mion. Marrying another guy is the ultimate slap in the face to the first husband. It's saying I want nothing to do with you. Ibayaluhu niskad shamau. So now the Gemara has a corollary of this. So what would the din be if not that she actually did nisuin with the second person, but she merely did kiddushin? Is that also considered to be like a form of mion? So the Gemara says tashmak tana shalom miana va'amda v'niskadcha mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira amru kiddushin ha'inin miuna. This brisa says explicitly that it is that kiddushin is the same as nisuin for these purposes, that it also acts as a form of mion. Ibayaluhu please. So now the question is, do the Rabbanan disagree with this statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? So the Gemara explains, Imtim Salomar Plige Bikidushin Oafilu Benisu. And even if you want to argue that the Rabbanan disagree, well, to what extent do they disagree? Do they disagree only by Kidushin? Meaning, do they claim that if the girl merely did Kidushin with another man, that that's not Mion, but if she did Nisuin, then it would be? Or maybe no, maybe they even disagree by Nisuin. Maybe they even claim that Nisuin with another man without the formal Mion first, perhaps that's insufficient. The Imtim Salomar. Yeah.
Case,
yeah,
the katana, whatever, goes ahead and marries another man,
right?
And that's the de facto mion.
Well, that's part of the machlokes here. That's what we're trying to figure out. Meaning,
my question is, isn't the other her new husband Aisha Sage?
No, again, because if you assume that her original, that by marrying the next guy it was Mion, she was never married to the first guy in the first place. That's the whole point of Mion.
So it happens simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In other words, if you subscribe to this idea that the Kiddushin or Nisuin is a Mion, so then, yeah, her initial marriage is out the window. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'imtim salomar plige afilu b'nisuin, halacha kemoso, oh, and halacha kemoso. Then a further question is, that even if you want to argue that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda even by Nisuin, meaning to say that the Rabbanan think that even if she goes ahead and actually does Nisuin with another man, that's not good enough, that she really needs regular Mion first. So the question is, do we accept that position? In other words, do we postulate the Chachamim or not? V'imtim salomar halacha kemoso b'nisuin oafilu b'kiddushin. And even if you want to argue that we do postulate the Chachamim, that doing, kiddushin or nisuin with another man is not enough, you need to do Mion first. The question is, do we postulate the Chachamim across the board, meaning to say that neither kiddushin nor nisuin is good enough without Mion first? Or maybe no, maybe we only postulate the Chachamim specifically by kiddushin, but perhaps by nisuin we actually subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that if she didn't sue with another man, that perhaps that would be good enough. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. Comes the Gemara and says, we paskin like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. So the Gemara says, Halacha Michlal Deflige. It sounds like if the fact that the Gemara had to go out of its way to say that we paskin like him, the implication is that there's another opinion that there's another opinion that dissents, namely that of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Va'akati Tiboy Lecha, Tahava Nesiva Meikara, Odilma Mekadja. But now the Gemara has a further question, which is that when the Gemara says that we follow Rav Yehuda ben Beseira Nazira, that the girl, if she went ahead and didn't Nisun with another man, that that's considered a form of Milan, does that mean that she was specifically married with Nisun to the first guy? Then when she goes ahead and does Nisun or Kiddushin with the second guy, that's considered walking out of the marriage? Or maybe not. Maybe even if she only had Kiddushin with the first guy, perhaps then Nisun or Kiddushin with the second guy is enough, but perhaps Nisun with the first guy, you need to have a formalized Milan. So that's a further question within this psak of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So the Gemara tries to resolve this. Tashma, the Chalase da Avdan Imrut. So the daughters-in-law of Avdan, we actually referenced Avdan earlier in the week. There was a whole story we had about him. So his daughters-in-law, they rebelled. In other words, they essentially, again, they were ketanos, and they basically wanted to walk out of the marriage of their husbands. So Shada Rebbe Zuge de Rabbanan Lemiv Dekinu. So Rebbe sent a pair of Rabbanan to go and investigate, to go and see if they had really rebelled, if they really wanted to walk out of the marriage. So Amri Lehu Nashe Chazu Gavreichu Dekaasu. So these women said to Avdan's daughters-in-law, they said, look, your husbands are coming. So Amri Lehu Nahavu Gavreichu Ditchu. They said, let them be your husbands, which is essentially a way of saying we're no longer married to them. So Amar Rebbe Ein Lecha Mion Gadol Mizeh. That is the prime example of Mion. So the Gemara says, My Lav Dahavan Esiva. So aren't we talking about a case where his daughters-in-law were already married with Nisuin to his son? So the Gemara says, Lo Dahavu Mekatcha Kiddushin. Maybe they merely had Kiddushin, and that's why they were allowed to merely opt out of the marriage by saying, I have nothing to do with you, but perhaps if they had Nisuin, they would have needed something more. And the Gemara says, V'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, v'afilu b'nisuin dekama. However, the Gemara paskins at the end of the day that we follow this position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, even if she had Nisuin to the first guy. So even if the girl, even if the 10-year-old was married with Nisuin, she can walk out of the marriage if she decides to marry somebody else, even without a formalized Mion, that is going to be good enough. Okay, then we said, Rabbi Elazar Omer. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Chozerani al kol tzidde chachamim, v'lo matzasi adam, shehishra midosa biktana k'Rabbi Elazar, sha'asa Rabbi Elazar kim tayeles imo b'chatzer, v'omedes mecheko v'toveles v'ocheles b'shrum ala erev. Comes the Gemara and points out that the most consistent opinion regarding the status of Ketana is that of Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara points out that Rabbi Elazar essentially treats the status of Ketana, we saw it in the Mishnah yesterday, as a mefuta, as if she was a girl who was seduced. She's not really considered married at all, according to Rabbi Elazar. And the Gemara says that it's the equivalent of a man going for a stroll with the girl in a courtyard, then they have relations, she gets up, she goes to the mikvah, and then she, if she's a bas kohen, she can go back to eating truma at her father's house. Again, we pointed this out yesterday. Normally, if a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, she forfeits the right to eat truma from her father's house, but in the case where she's a ketana, within the worldview of Rabbi Elazar, that it's really considered to be... that it's really considered to be a, it's not really called a marriage at all. So the Gemara says, then she can go back to eating shrimp in her father's house. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein Maisek Tana Klum, Ve'ein Baila Zakai Lo B'Mitziyasa, Ve'lo B'Maisei Adeha, Ve'lo B'Hafaras Nedareha, Ve'ein O Yorsha, Ve'ein Mitameila. So basically, Rabbi Eliezer says, as we noted already yesterday, the actions of a Ketana are meaningless, and therefore her husband is not entitled to any of the things that a regular husband is entitled to from his wife. Namely, her lost objects that she finds, or any wages that she earns, he can't be made for her nedarim. He can't be, if he's a kohen, he can't become tamei if she dies. Klalu shel davar ena keish to lechol davar ela shetzricha miyun. According to Rabbi Eliezer, they're basically not halachically married at all. There just happens to be a caveat that if she wants to leave the marriage, she needs miyun. That's kind of like a tangential halacha, but fundamentally, they're not really married. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehoshua Omer by lazaka b'mitziyasa uvemaisei adeha uvahafaras nedareha v'yorsha umetamila klalu shel davar harehi keish to lechol davar ela sheyotzu b'miyun. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua says the exact opposite. He says, no, they're 100% married. It just happens to be that the girl has an out that's a lot more lenient than a regular marriage. Normal marriage can only be dissolved through death or through a get, but here there's a special kula that Mion works, but basically until the Mion is done, they're 100% married. Amar Rebbe, yeah. So again, we spoke a little bit about this earlier in the week about how if you want to make the marriage not look licentious, so yeah, so then there is a ksuba that's done initially. It's just that she has this out of doing milan that basically dissolves the entire marriage. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divir Rabbi Eliezer, Mi Divir Rabbi Yehoshua, She Rabbi Eliezer, Hishra Midosa, Biktanav Rabbi Yehoshua Chalak. As we noted already, right, the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion seems to be more logical, because as we pointed out, he's consistent in terms of the status of a ketana. He treats a ketana like nothing, as if the marriage is completely invalid, whereas Rabbi Yehoshua is more inconsistent in terms of his application. What does that mean? My Chalak, I Ishto Hitiboy Get, because within the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, if it were really true that the ketana was 100% married to this guy, so then he should really have to give her a get. Why is Mion sufficient? So the Gemara says, okay, lo Rebbe Eliezer Nami, Yilav Ishtohi Mion Nami lo Tiboy. But then if that's the case, so then why does Rebbe Eliezer even require Mion? In other words, if Rebbe Eliezer is so convinced that this is not a real marriage at all, so why does he even insist just on Mion. So the Gemara says, no, Ela Bechdi Tipuk, what, you're going to let the girl walk out with nothing? It doesn't look right. It doesn't look right to dissolve a marriage with nothing. You need to have something to end the marriage. So that's why we insist on Mion. Okay, then we said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Heichi Dami Akava Shehim in Aish, Va'akava She'inam in Aish, right? The Mishnah pointed out yesterday that if the thing that's holding up the marriage is coming from the man, so then they're considered married, but if it's coming from the woman, then they're not. So what does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tva'uha Li Nase, Va'amra Machmas Ploni Baili, Zohi Akava She'im in Aish, Machmas B'nei Adam She'inam, Mehuganin Li, Zohi Akava She'inam in Aish. So imagine the following. You have this 10-year-old girl, she's married to some guy, and then there's some kind of a shidduch prospect that she, you know, theoretically could get married to somebody else, you know, assuming that she first does Mion. So the Gemara says, if her claim is, I can't marry this other guy because of my husband, so she's essentially viewing herself as a married woman. So that's something that's coming from the man's perspective, and that's what's preventing her from getting married. However, if she says the reason why I'm not going to get married is because all my shidduch prospects are not great, they're not good people, I'm not interested in marrying any of these guys. So the implication is that had she found the right guy, she would have walked out of the initial marriage. So that's something that's not on the husband, that's on her. So the Gemara says at that point they're not really considered to be married. Abai bar Avin v'Rav Chanina bar Avin da Amri Travayu Nasan la Get Zohi Akava Shehim in Aish v'Hu Asur Bekrovo Se Avi Asura Bekrovav Ufaslam in Hakahuna Mian Abo Zohi Akava Sheinam in Aish v'Hu Mutter Bekrovo Se Avi Muteres Bekrovav V'Lo Paslam in Hakahuna. So now the Gemara makes a second distinction, which is that it basically depends on what happened. If the man gives her a get, so what he's essentially trying to do here is he's trying to sever the marriage. He's trying to cut her off. That's something that's coming from the man. So if that happens, so he can no longer marry her relatives, she cannot marry his relatives, she's no longer allowed to marry a Kohen because she's considered a Grusha. On the other hand, if she merely did Mion, so again, Mion dissolves the marriage, but not like a get. So they're still permitted to marry each other's relatives, and she's not disqualified from marrying a Kohen. So asks the Gemara, HaKatani L'Kaman, HaMema Enes Bish, Hu Mutter Bekrovo Sevi, Hi Muteres Bekrovo, V'lo Paslam and HaKahuna, Nasan L'Ged, Hu Aser Bekrovo Sevi, Asur Bekrovo, Hu Paslam and HaKahuna. In literally three words from now, in the Mishnah that we're about to see, the Mishnah quotes this exact halacha. So why is the Gemara repeating it? So the Gemara says, Perushika Mefarish. The Gemara is just expounding, it's just explaining the halacha that we're about to see in the Mishnah right now. So says the Mishnah, HaMema Enes Be'ish, Hu Mutter Bekrovo Sev, Hi Muteres Bekrovo, V'lo Paslam and HaKahuna, Nasan L'Ged, Hu Aser Bekrovo Sev, Hi Asur Bekrovo, Hu Paslam and HaKahuna, Nasan L'Ged, Ve Hechazira, Miana Bo V'Nises La'acher, V'Nesar Melo, Nisgarsha, Muteres La'achzer Lo, Miana Bo Ve Hechazira, Nasan L'Ged, V'Nises La'acher, V'Nesar Melo, Nisgarsha, Asura La'achzer Lo. Comes the Mishnah with the following variations of cases. So the first case is relatively straightforward, is the case that we just quoted a second ago, which is that if the girl does Mion, so again, it's the marriage dissolves, but he can marry her relatives, she can marry his relatives, she's not disqualified from Aga Cohen. Of course, the reverse is going to be true if he gives her a get. Then the Mishnah says, what if you have the following case? What if, let's say, for example, the guy gives his 10-year-old wife a get, then he remarries her, which is permissible as long as she hasn't married anyone else. We know, right, that the Isra Master Grushasa only applies if the woman married someone else in the interim. So she doesn't marry anyone else, he remarries her, and then she does Mion after she's been remarried. Then she marries a second guy from whom she becomes either widowed or divorced. So now, the Mishnah says she can go back to marrying the first husband. That's fine. However, if she does Mion first with the first husband, then he remarries her, and then he gives her a get, and then she marries a second guy from whom she becomes widowed or divorced, then she's not allowed to go back to the original husband. So what's the difference? So says the Mishnah on top of Amvez, Zeha Klal, Gerachar Mion Asura Lachzerlo, Mion Achar Gen Muteres Lachzerlo, says the Mishnah the following rule, that giving a get after Mion, that prevents the original husband from remarrying. However, if the get is given first, followed by the Mion, so then that's fine. So then he can remarry her. Then the Mishnah says, HaMema Enes Be'ish, V'Niseis La'acher V'Gersha, La'acher U'Mianabo, La'acher V'Gersha, Zeha Klal, Kol Sheyotze Himenu Beget Asura Lachzerlo, B'Mion Muteres Lachzerlo. So this is kind of a corollary of the rules that we've been explaining, which is, so let's say again the following. The girl does Mion with her original husband. She then marries a second guy who then divorces her. She then marries a third guy who then does Mion with her. Again, assuming this is all within Beis Hillel's view, you could do Mion multiple times. So then, and then she marries another guy who then divorces her. So basically, anyone that divorced her, she cannot remarry. Anyone that she merely did Mion with, she can remarry. That's the basic rule. So says the Gemara, Alma Asi Mion Umevatel Get. It's clear from the Mishnah that Mion can come and override or nullify the effects of a get. So asks the Gemara, Uremini, HaMema Enes Be'ish V'Niseis Le'acher V'Gersha, La'acher U'Mianabo, La'acher V'Gersha, Zeha Klal Kol She'yotz Tehemenu Be'get Asura La'acher Lo, B'mion Muteres Lachzer Lo, Alma Lo Ase Mion Dechavrei Ubatil Gita Didei. So the Gemara says like this, that we saw in the Mishnah The Mishnah told us in a case where the girl does Mion, then she marries someone else who divorces her, then she marries another guy who does Mion, and then a fourth guy who divorces her. So the Mishnah told us that anyone who divorced her with a get, she cannot remarry, but Mion is fine. So what do you see from here? You see that Mion from someone else is not going to nullify a get. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tavra, Mishishanazo, Loshanazo. The Gemara says, you're right, that these are two distinct statements from the Mishnayos, and they're contradictory, and there's no way to resolve them. In other words, the implication of our Mishnah is that Mion does override a get, but the implication of this other statement from the Mishnah is that it's not the case. So again, you have two contradictory statements of Tanaim that cannot be resolved. Amar Rava, Umay Kushya, Vidilma Mion Didei Mevatel Geti Dei, Mion Dechavre Lo Mevatel Gita Didei. However, Rava pushes back and says, maybe not. Maybe there is a way to resolve these two apparently contradictory statements by suggesting that your own Mion, that overrides your get. So if you gave a get and then you remarried the woman and then you did Mion and then she married someone else and the other guy divorced or died, she can remarry you because Mion was your last action, so you can remarry her. Maybe that's true within your own action. So you gave her a get first, then you did Mion, and then she did Mion with you. That's okay. But perhaps Mion of another guy is not going to override your own get. That's why in the case where you have the four people where two of them gave her a get and two of them did Mion, the Mion from the other guy has no impact on your get and vice versa. So the Gemara then says, "Umayshna Mion dechavrei de lo mevatel gita didei." So the question is, but why should that be so? Why is Mion from the other guy not going to nullify, not going to override the get that I gave? So the Gemara explains, So the Gemara says, because we're afraid that the girl recognizes the different signs that you're giving. In other words, we assume that if they've been married for a certain period of time, so the husband's going to have a certain sway over his wife and try to convince her to get remarried. So the Gemara then says, okay, so why are we not concerned for that by Mion as well? Why don't we say that when the guy does Mion, he'll also have a hold on her. He'll also have some sway on her and try to convince her to get remarried. So the Gemara says, no. Hakvar Shabsha v'lo Shabsha. The Gemara says that he already tried that and the girl did Mion with him anyway, which indicates that he clearly doesn't have a hold on her because she already walked out of the marriage. So the Gemara says, there she's already proven to us that the husband doesn't have, you know, doesn't have a hold on her. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela ikashia dechavriya dechavri kashia. Miana bo vehechazira, nasan la get venises la acher, venestarma la onis garsha, asura la achso. This is the case. This is the case that the Gemara is asking about. So again, the girl does Mion, then the guy remarries her, then he gives her a get, then she marries a second guy who then either divorces her or the husband dies. So the Gemara says that the original husband is no longer allowed to marry her. So the Gemara explains, Taima dinesarma la onis garsha, hamiana muteres lachzerlo, alma ase Mion dechavre umevatel gita didei. The only reason why this girl can't go back to the original husband is because the second husband either divorced her or died, implying that if the second husband did Mion with her, she would be allowed to go back to her original husband, which implies that Mion from another guy can nullify and override my get. Because again, remember, in this case, you gave her the get, you did Mion, gave her, and then brought her back, and then gave her a get. So now we're suggesting that as long as the second guy is doing Mion, she can go back to the first husband, which implies that the Mion will override the get that you gave her. The problem is, Urimini, Hamima Enes Be'ish, the Niseis La'acher Ve'gersha, La'acher Umianabo, Zeha Klal, Kol It's contradicted by the line in the Mishnah, which talks about a case where the girl does Mion, then the girl marries someone else who then divorces her, then she marries another guy who does Mion. So anyone who divorced her with the get, she cannot remarry, but with Mion, she can. So you see that Mion from somebody else can be Mevatel your own get, which again contradicts what the Gemara just suggested. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'm a Rabbi Elazar Tavram, Yishanazolo Shanazo. The same answer we gave in the Gemara earlier, which is, you're right, these statements are disjointed, they're made by two different Tanaim, and there is no way to resolve them. Ula Amar, Kigon Sheshilsha Begitin de Mechazia Kigedola. Ula gives a different answer, which is more like a Takana de Rabbanan almost, which is that when you have a scenario where a girl has already received three Gittin before she turns 12, she's been divorced three times, it's very hard for us to treat her as if she's still a Katana, even though technically she is. She looks too much like a Gedola. A woman who's been divorced three times, you don't think of a 10-year-old girl, someone who's been divorced three times, so me de Rabbanan, we're going to treat her like a Gedola, and that's why we're not going to allow her to get remarried. Then the Gemara asks,
Why would we have the Hava Mina that that miyun would ever nullify a get. I know they're saying that here. Well, but why would you ever think that?
The issue is whether we're allowed, in other words, whether we say that the original husband can go back and remarry her, right? So the assumption is once you give a get, so and if she marries someone else, so that cuts it off. The question becomes when the girl does miyun, so is that considered like she married someone else or not? Maybe the miyun just dissolved the whole marriage. She never really married anyone. That's usually what we assume miyun is, right? Miyun means they never married at all. So that's part, okay. Right? So that's part of the issue in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara's trying to figure out. Okay. So says the Gemara, Mantana, I'm a Rabbi Huda, my Rav, my dichsiv, me menu bechesef shasinu eitzenu bim mechir yavo, bishas asakon and isbaksha halachazo, hare sheyatza me rishon begeru mishini bim miyun mau shetachsur la rishon, scharo adam echar ba'arba meozuz, vishalu es Rabbi Akiva bevesa asurin va'asar, es Rabbi Huda ben Beser ben Etzivin va'asar. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Megillas Eicha that talks about the fact that we spent money in order to buy water and we purchased wood with money. So the Gemara basically uses as a metaphor that we had to, you know, expend money for learning Torah. And the Gemara had said that during a Shas HaSakana, when the Romans were persecuting us and they outlawed learning Torah, so this question, this very issue that we're dealing with, came up. In other words, the question of a case where the girl, where let's say the first husband divorces her and then she marries a second guy who then does Milan, the question is, can she go back to the first husband? So since they didn't know the answer to the question, they hired a guy, they paid him 400 zuz, some exorbitant sum of money, and they ran to Rabbi Akiva, who was locked up in prison, and they asked him to Shaila, and he said that it's also that she's not allowed to go back to the first husband, and they also asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Basir in the city of Netzivan, and he gave the same psak. So Amar Rabbi Yishmael Barab Yosi Lazolo Hitzrachnu Leisrakari Sitaita Leisralavlo Kol Shekin. So comes Rabbi Yishmael and says, no, that wasn't the question that they paid this exorbitant sum of money for, because the answer to this question is obvious. Of course, she's allowed to go back and marry, because he says that the whole point of miyun is what the miyun dissolves what's otherwise an isser, what's otherwise a chi of karis, right? The isser of aishas is a very severe type of an isser, and yet miyun dissolves the isser. Here, the only potential isser on the board here is the isser of machzir grushaso, which is a much lower level isser than aishas ish. So if you're going to say that miyun undoes the very serious isser of aishas ish, then kal v'chomer should be able to undo the isser of machzir grushaso. So what then was the question that they hired this guy to ask Rabbi Akiva? Beram kach shalu hare ha'isa aishas achi imo sheishniyalo the nasa achiv meyaviv v'meis mahu shetimayin hashda v'se'akrinu l'nisuin kamay v'sis yabin yesh miyun liachar misabim ko mitza ulo scharo shnei b'nei adam b'ar v'meyozuz uva v'shalu es Rabbi Akiva b'vei sa'asur v'asar es Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser ben Etzivan v'asar. It was a much more complicated question that they hired the guy to ask. The question was as follows. You have a person who's eishes achi ima, right? Your mother's brother's wife or your aunt, so she's a shnios la'arayos to you, and she goes ahead and marries your paternal brother, right? So then what happens? Your paternal brother dies childless, so now this woman is falling in yibum to you. The question is, can she do miyun and retroactively dissolve the marriage, thereby allowing the co-wife to do yibum? If she doesn't dissolve the marriage, the co-wife is going to have to do chalitza, but if she dissolves the marriage, then there was never any sort of arayos relationship in the first place, and then the co-wife should theoretically be able to do yibum. So that was the shaila that they hired the guy to go ask Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and they said in that case it's usher, that she can't do that, that the co-wife has to do chalitza. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak Barashian, Umo Derav, Shemuteres La'achiv Shalzeh Shene Esra Alav. Comes the Gemara and points out that even Rav will agree that she is permitted to marry the brother of the person to whom she was forbidden. In other words, normally the halacha is that you're not allowed to marry what's called Achos Grusha. So we spoke about this a little bit earlier in the Masechta, that you're not allowed to marry your in other words, your ex-wife can't marry your brother, right? In other words, it's basically the same type of Isser. Again, there was a question earlier whether that's an Isser Doraisa or Isser Dorabanan, but that Isser is in effect the same way that you can't marry your brother's wife, the same if it's not in the context of Yibum, the same is true for Achos Grushaso. So Rav says that in this scenario, when Miyun was done, she can marry, so then the ex-wife can marry the guy's brother. So the Gemara says, Pshita, who nihu demakeres birmizosav ukritzosav avol achiv lo. Well, what's the Hava mean? Why would I have thought that she can marry the guy's brother? Because the whole issue of the Gemara earlier was that we're afraid that the husband is going to have some kind of a sway on her because he knows his, you know, the things, you know, the different sides, you know, the different ways to get her to stay with him. So the assumption is that only the original husband knows that, but not his brother. So the Gemara says, no, ma'u the same maligs are hayatu hay, kamash malon. One could have argued that maybe we should impose a gzera on the brother. Don't let him get married to the girl who did miyun as a gzera Gaira lets the original husband remarry her. So Kamash Balon that we're not concerned for that. That's one version. In the second version, the Gemara says the opposite. The Gemara says that in fact we do not allow the brother to remarry the girl who did Mion, because again, for this very reason, as a Gzera, that we're afraid that if we let him remarry, then maybe the original guy's going to remarry. And then we'll just end off with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamegarish Esa Isha Vehechazira Muteris Leyavim V'Rabbi Elazar Osher. The Mishnah has the following machlokas. A guy goes ahead and divorces his wife and remarries her, again, obviously before she married anybody else, so there's no master Grusha so involved. So the halacha is, says the Tanakama, that she's allowed to do Yibam. Right? Normally, when you divorce your wife, and then there's a scenario of Yibam, so Yibam's not going to apply anymore if at the time that the guy died, they weren't married. But if you remarried her and then died in a Yibam scenario, so according to the Tanakama, Yibam applies, but Rabbi Elazar says no. Rabbi Elazar says that in this scenario, there is no Yibam. V'chin ha-megarish esayesoma v'hechazira muteres liyavim v'Rabbi Elazar osar. A similar machlokes, let's say one divorces his wife who was a yesoma. Again, the assumption was she was married off by her mother or brother. Her father was dead already. So again, in this scenario, if he divorces her and remarries her, so again, the Tanakhama says that Yibam will still be in effect, but again, Rabbi Elazar will disagree. And then finally, the Mishnah says, "Ktana shehi siya avia v'nizgarsha, ki yesoma b'chayeav, v'hechazira divriya kol asur liyavam." If the girl was married off by her father, that's a marriage that's binding me to Oraisa. So if the husband divorces her, that's the equivalent of a girl who's a yesoma b'chayeav, meaning if the father married her off, the marriage is binding me to Oraisa. And if the guy remarries her, then everyone agrees, again, if he then dies childless, that there is no Yibam in that scenario. In the case where the father married her off, if he divorces her and then remarried her, and then the guy died childless, then everyone agrees, even the Tanakhama will agree that there is no mitzvah of Yibam in that scenario.